Christmas, baby. Here's
to a Merry Christmas, baby.
And such happiness in the coming year.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for social and political straight talk, on air, online, and on point. Get ready to join the conversation with your host, Ms. Tanya Free.
Wednesday, December the 9th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, Eric Balsall. How are you? Well, good. And also with us is Uncle Mo. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back.
Well, thank you for being here. And also with us is Joanne Henry. How are you, friend?
I'm fine.
Good. And also, Wendell Saul, my good friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tanya. Thank you.
Well, thank you all for being here. And I want to give a shout-out to our social media and roving correspondent, Antoinette Baylor. She's a little under the weather, so get better, friend, and hope to see you next week. And also working behind the scenes is Miera. She can just only wave at us. Okay, and Marcus Evans and Mr. Free. Thank you all for listening today. Our phone lines are open. We welcome your thoughts and opinions. 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at TanyaFree 63975. And we want to also say, if you're listening on your phone, you can dial 712-832-2784. Before we get started, I want to extend our thoughts and prayers to the family and friends of the victims that were lost last week and those also that were injured in the mass shooting in San Bernardino, a very tragic situation. And it seems like, you know, when we come on the show, we're talking either about a mass shooting or a shooting of some sort. And, you know, we need to, I don't know what we can do to change that. We have some Republicans that think we need to close the borders to people coming in this country. But what are you going to do about the ones that are domestic? That's the question. What, I mean, Uncle Mo?
That's a beautiful thing to ask about. I mean, honestly, you can do something about the ones who are trying to come in the country.
Okay.
I really do.
The ones that are
sitting here right now that you do
right,
not
domestic.
Know about.
Exactly.
The ones that are the homegrown, the ones who are the sympathizers, the ones who are aligning themselves one at a time, two at a time, then it's 10 at a time, and it multiplies and multiplies. And before you know it, you'll have something on your hands in the United States, which you saw that happened in Paris, France a little while ago. Remember, what took place in Paris, that was done by maybe, how many people was it?
It was like more than two. I know it was more like three or four. I'm not sure the number.
8 to 10, somewhere between eight. I want to say eight
right.
to 10, less than 10. Let's call it less than 10. All right, what if you had individuals of the same capacity and you had maybe 25 to 50 in a decent size or major city in America
that did not
just recently get into the country but were already here and had a chance to organize and mobilize?
That's what we have with San Bernardino. The perpetrator, the male perpetrator, is a U.S. citizen. He was born here in the United States. His wife was on a visa.
Right.
That was only two, but we don't know how many more that are in the same capacity, that are homegrown, that are actually here, that may not be on a watch list. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about closing the borders, which is crazy, but what about the ones that are already here? What about if you have two more couples or three more couples or four or five more groups like you're talking about that are already here, already planning?
Right.
You know, and it may not be on a watch list or of any kind. And you don't even have to be, I know they're trying to pin it all on Muslims, but that doesn't have to be the case.
We've had a domestic terrorist organization in this country operating alive and well to this day for a long time, the Klan.
Oh, there you go.
The Ku Klux Klan is a domestic terrorist organization.
Exactly.
They have been running very well for a long time.
Isn't it really amazing how they pick and choose who they want to call terrorists? Eric?
Well, in defense of the Klan...
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Did you say?
Klan only kill Jews and blacks. So,
that's right.
These people are indiscriminate about who they kill. I understand. I see your face, Tony. But it's a comparison, but it's a, you know, I do get
You don't think they're terrorists?
No.
Domestic terrorists?
You don't think the Klan is a domestic terrorist organization?
No, they weren't.
You don't?
No, they knew who they wanted to target.
That doesn't mean they're a terrorist.
So they aren't that.
You can target a certain group
and
of people and still be a terrorist.
We knew the evil persons. We knew there were clans. We don't know who these people are.
That doesn't make you less of a terrorist.
Right.
It doesn't.
Exactly. It doesn't.
Just because you know, just because you can identify your target. Now, the ones that we have right now that we're talking about terrorism, they're able to identify their targets.
And make a difference
where you are. You can be a Klan. The Klan is a domestic terrorist organization.
Exactly.
I don't care who you're talking to.
Well, recently they had an article in a paper about the Ku Klux Klan, and they have all basically dissolved down to about 30 members, and they were created to harm blacks and Jews. There was research done on it. It was in the in the newspaper. Just about a week ago, they were talking about it.
Now, we're not sad on these. I'm not sad on these terrorists.
You're still a terrorist.
Okay. But, the definition is a terrorist, a person uses terrorism to pursue a political aim.
Okay, I'm glad you asked that question, because I don't have my glasses, but bear with me while I read this the best I can.
they're still wrong now. Don't get me wrong. The Klan is wrong.
Okay, the FBI describes terrorism there, too. They call it, they have one they define as international terrorism. Okay. Then they have domestic terrorism. And the domestic terrorism means activities with the following three characteristics. Involve acts dangerous to human life that violates federal or state law. And now, would you think the Ku Klux Klan would fall under that definition?
Yes.
You and I agree, but I'm
yes. federal
and state law.
Now, when you say state law, how do you constitute state law by, going
laws
after black?
Laws of the state.
I understand, but how you correlate them?
Mass murder would probably fall into that category.
But a mass murderer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I'm trying to figure out now is when you talk about state law, what laws are they breaking?
You don't consider mass shooting to be breaking the law, killing people?
So you're saying Klan have
mass shooting? Lynches, okay.
That's back, back in the past.
But they're still lynching people now.
They're lynching people where? In America?
No.
Yes. We just had a young man in...
That's still up for investigation. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. About swings. I haven't even said what I'm talking about.
But they have not gone into...
You almost like it, right?
I'm going to sip a little water on that.
Tanya, but they have not gone into buildings to kill multiple people.
You don't have to go into a building to kill people. You can kill people and shooting folks. That's still killing people.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but, it's almost saying... I don't know. They're still wrong. The Klan is still wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to justify the actions.
You don't declare them to be terrorists, domestic terrorists still?
The word is thrown around so much like racism and love and sorry. Sometimes you got to chill on these words sometimes.
Eric, you're getting me all riled up already. Wendell, jump in here.
Well, not wanting to engage in the whole KKK, conversation, which we all know, what the purpose of the KKK was when they was originally formed,
mm-hmm.
and what they was doing at that time as compared to what you hear about them now. When folks think about terrorists for the past, 15 years or so, they've thought about, Muslims and Islam,
mm-hmm.
Whenever you hear terrorists or terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the nation, our government, FBI and the CIA, everybody really been focusing, their investigations on, when someone speaks of terrorism is, radical jihad Islamics.
Mm-hmm.
No, I disagree with you all altogether, because I believe the young man on June 18th that killed the 9 people in South Carolina, he was a perpetrator suspected of being a white supremacist. And in my opinion, that's terrorism. I do. I think that was a terrorist act. I really do. Let's go to the phone. Scotty, how are you, friend?
I'm doing a lot better than a lot of people across this land, so I'm not going to complain and count my blessings. But how are you all?
I think I'm going to be all right.
I'm fine.
Okay.
If you can help clear this up for us. Eric just threw us a curveball here.
We seem to be stuck on the Ku Klux Klan as the organization that was started in the 1800s following the Civil War. When the FBI calls them, there's different white supremacist groups. Some of them are controlled from the prisons. And then, so they're called neo-Nazis, subscribe to white supremacy. And, so let me just throw some names out there and tell me if these acts were acts of terrorism. And why does it have to be a mass shooting, It could just be one person shot, like a Laquan McDonald. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's not about just lynching from the trees anymore. You know, police killings is also considered lynchings, especially in a case like Laquan McDonald. But let me give you some names. Daniel Macy, Jason Van Dyke, Michael Slager, Darren Wilson,
Sean Williams,
mm-hmm. Dylan Roof, Alan Scarcella, Nathan Gustafson, and Joseph Bagman. Those are all white men who have committed mass shootings and under white supremacy, mm-hmm. You know, subscribing to a white supremacy ideology. Now, when people want to talk about the Islamic ideology, look, those people do exist. Let's not act like those type of people don't exist. But this government is putting no focus on, you know, white terrorism. And let's just call it what it is. It's white terrorism. And it is for a political agenda. I look at the drug war. It's terrorism. The police are using force, intimidation, and violence to enforce laws that many people today are you know, debating right now, should those laws be repealed.
Right.
They call it mass incarceration. And but we know it's slavery. And so that's all I wanted to add. That's a lot of white terrorism going on. And the FBI said that white supremacist types, to quote them, were infiltrating police departments. Now, anybody that studied black history, the civil rights movement, talked to your own elders, you know, then you would know that the local police chief was in the Klan. You know Bull mm-hmm. Connor was in the Klan. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that stuff is going on to this day, and this is terrorism. And the federal government has not shown me that it is serious about stopping all this white terror. Thank
exactly.
you. I'll take your comments
you're
off there.
You're absolutely right, Scott. I agree with you 100% on that.
So what about the Bloods and the Crips?
Yeah,
and
what
the
about
people in Chicago shooting that 9-year-old kid?
What
terrorism,
terrorism
yeah,
too, yeah.
yeah, what about Congressman Bobby Rush, black Democrat from Chicago?
See,
he's part of the Bloods and Crips. You know, he out of gangland.
Yeah,
Bobby Rush. Go look him up. Go look at Bobby Rush.
Ex-Panther,
right? Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, yeah. Since you want to talk about Democrats, yeah. are there any Republicans?
That's what?
That are terrorists?
Yes.
If they are, they should be brought to the forefront.
You don't know any?
No, none of them on Main Street advocating for, you know, white supremacists. Or advocating.
Well, you know, you can call the banks terrorism. You can call a lot of things just putting people to dismay. You know, you can call men terrorists, but paying women 76 cents on the dollar.
But are we focusing on that?
They can kill, though.
About the terrorism that's happening now.
Right.
Mental terrorism, too.
Right. Going back to what we're saying, Bernardino, and mm-hmm. how there is a lot of tension mm-hmm. focused on Muslim. But like Scotty said,
they deserve it.
You know, our country focus on just a certain group.
Right.
And we have domestic terrorism in this country that, you know, I was watching the news yesterday and how everybody's up in arms, and really more so after Trump came out and, you know, talked specifically against Muslims and
right.
closing the borders and that sort of thing, which scares me because I think that he actually walked into what, if anything, what ISIS would want us to do, to engage in a back and forth battle mm-hmm. with them. And you cannot fight evil with evil.
Yeah. I went on Facebook and I put a pretty substantial post up concerning the Trump comments.
That's your boy, Republican.
And I was explaining to people, you know, instead of trying to say what he meant to say, look at exactly what he said. He said that he would stop all Muslims from coming in this country until Congress figure out what the hell is going on.
Exactly.
One, you got Muslims in every continent on the face of the earth. So every continent, you want to stop Muslims from coming in. So now you're going to have an issue with every leader, you know, on every continent, everywhere.
One more thing is
the Congress is not their job to protect the country. It's the President of the United States' number one job to protect the country.
Through the Congress.
Well, yeah, but he said until Congress figures out what's the matter.
But look, France is getting ready to clear them out.
Yeah, that's the president's job. It's to give the direction
but
and give
Congress
the leadership.
Work with the president?
Supposed to. Yeah.
The president can't just put something down on paper. And say, look, this is what we're going to do.
Supposed to.
He can be overridden any day of the week. But, and it does. It's been so systemically through this president.
Administration. Yeah. That's what he's saying. What he's saying is none of the responsibility is on the president. He said until Congress. Meaning that he has no idea that the president is the one that sets the tone as the leader of the nation.
Okay, let me ask you this, Wendell. So you're okay with what Trump said yesterday?
No, I'm not okay with what he said.
I understand.
Yeah, I understand what he's saying, but I'm not okay with what he said.
What he said makes perfect. I get it. It makes perfect sense, but you just can't do that.
Yeah, you just can't do that.
There's a reason for anything. Yeah. You just can't do
it. You can't do it.
So you all agree with what Trump said?
No, we don't agree with him.
But the leader in France is saying it's that a double edged sword. Stop them from coming into their country. So why can't we do that?
All right. France is a completely different ball of wax.
You can't even vet people enough.
I guess I'm a little touched by you all agreeing and understanding what he is saying when his own party has denounced him.
Well, that's typical. That's political.
From what he said, you cannot do that exactly as he said it. He didn't. He just said it and left it just like that as a blanket statement.
I'm so glad Trump's on the campaign. Somebody just speaks really and not just political BS. Thank you, Donald Trump. I'm not going to vote for him or anything, but I'm so glad that someone is saying things that's really good to feel.
He's saying what somebody else is saying.
Well, a lot of people think it.
And that's his entire fan base.
Please give me a call because I need some help in here today.
He's expressing what people are thinking.
His entire fan base is charged behind his scared conversation.
So you all support Donald Trump. We're talking about a racist and a bigot.
Why are you saying
he's not a racist and a bigot.
Why are you saying
I think he is a racist and a bigot.
He never said he hated anybody.
Y'all come on in and take a seat.
I don't support him for Jack.
Yeah, I don't support him.
I think he's an idiot, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think he's an idiot either. I think he's a smart, brilliant man.
He's a very rich and influential idiot.
So you don't
think
he's a racist?
No.
He's a businessman that does everything that benefits him and his brand.
You compare him to the Klan? They racist. Skinheads? He's on that level?
No.
Well, when you talk about black people, that blacks kill whites.
He's telling the truth again. They?
Okay, we got to go to the break. Today's praise break is You Keep Blessing Me by Bishop Larry Prada, sponsored by DNS Cleaning,
Lord
Residential
Jesus.
And Commercial Cleaning.
Let
services
804-272-3138. You ready? So, here we go. Every time I turn around, He keeps blessing me. Any blessed folks in here, I said every time I turn around, he keeps blessing me. Come on, take it quiet.
There's never enough time for everything in a day, and the last thing you want to worry about is having to clean your home or business. Let D&S Cleaning Services make it a little easier for you. We do the work so you don't have to, and there's no job too big or too small. We offer full-service cleaning service for residential and commercial properties, including floor cleaning, stripping and waxing, carpet cleaning, and more. Our staff is professional, courteous, and trained for the highest level of customer satisfaction. Call us today at 804-272-3138.
In all honesty, if racists offered me $100,000 to lie on Obama, I'd do it. Nobody believes that crap anyway. What? You want me to say he's a Muslim born in Kenya? Heck, make it $200,000 and I'll say blacks started white colonial slavery 1,000 years before whites even existed.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
New time, mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern on Real Brother Radio Network and realbrotherradionetwork.com. Brought to you by Black Trade Lines. Go to blacktradelines.com and register your business or service today. Black Trade Lines. Empowerment is only a download away.
What is New Orleans Talk Network? It's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You get ready because the conversation will be hot and better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app available on Android, iPhone, iPad, and you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide. That's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Join me, Ty Bailey, on Just Jazz, the weekly jazz program aired on Saturday nights from 9 until 11 p.m. Just Jazz showcases the best in jazz, current releases, reissues, and selections from past great recordings. It's here on the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network at tanyafree.com. Just Jazz is also streamed 24 hours a day at tybailey.com.
Reclaiming the Drum, WMXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's people-powered radio. Reclaiming the Drum.
Love, love, love. Why'd you take so long to come to me? Oh, baby, love, love, your love. Tell me where you hide from me all the time. Each time I try to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain. No, the lips were never quite the same. No, baby, while I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you make me fall in love with you. I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked up into empty space. All I saw was yours.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
I'm going to listen, so please call me because I need my friends to call me. I am sitting here today with Tanya Free and enemies. Let's go straight to the phones. Okay, AL on line one. How are you?
Hello, Tanya. How are you?
Good. I'm not sure right now today. I said Tanya Free and friends earlier. I'm not sure about that.
Well, let me tell you something from a friendly point of view. When you look around, you got a lot of people there that are not connecting with the reality that we are in the most racist and most terrorist and the most dehumanizing country since its discovery. It's been built on lies and death and destruction. And the sad part about it is when a white man tells you what's on his mind, everybody wants to put on a front.
Right.
The truth is 90% of white America agrees with him. And if you don't believe it, look at Black Friday. 185,000 people put in for new gun permits.
Mm-hmm.
And what they didn't tell you was some of them permits were for more than one gun.
Mm-hmm.
So if you follow Trump's concept and you keep the Muslims out of the country, in reality, who's next?
Exactly. Thank
the same
you.
Thing.
Exactly.
We have to, hey, brother, listen. We have to wake up to the fact that somebody, they want in them crosshairs. Now, the Muslims is who they got there now. But if you listen to what Fox and Friends and all them wackos are saying, they all been talking about a race war.
Right.
And don't think.
Especially since President Obama's been in office.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If Obama, and hear me clearly, if he can have the Congress declare us in a war, he stays in office. These white people go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they realize they can't have an election to get him out of there? Come on. Literally, we will be in the crosshairs as a people of color. And guess what? They won't care what color because they already demonstrated that they are in lock and load position. If you go on the internet, they're training their children to kill you. It's one thing to be caught in a mental state of duress because us as black people have in many cases felt like we literally have no options. Well, the only thing they're doing is forcing us into the corner, so the only other option we have is to come out banging.
I got a question.
Now,
you got a question.
Wendell has a question for you.
Hey, have you seen the latest FBI report of who's the most targeted people in this nation? Have you seen that last?
Yes, I have.
And who did it say?
It said us.
No, you're a lie. I'm sorry. You must not have read the FBI report I just seen last week, the new FBI report that just came out last week.
I had a copy of that.
Wait a minute. I didn't read the one last week.
We know.
Wait a minute. Go ahead, A.O. Go ahead.
Here's the difference. It's not my job to keep up with everything that's
happening.
But
you're speaking like you know so much.
Bunch of stuff, though.
All right,
no. See, once again, like I said, you people get so far disconnected because you got resources. But you get out here with the person who is literally working from paycheck to paycheck and who can't meet their bills, their concept of thinking is entirely different. Believe me, these young boys out here today, they are looking at life like they have nothing to lose.
Right.
Do you think when they hunt them down and see that you a black man on the corner, they're going to take time and say, oh, no, he's a good brother. No, he ain't. They're going to kill you because you eliminate the threat. Wake up. Hey, look, I love you, Tanya, but
thank
I ain't
you,
talked in a while because of the thinking around you. But I've been listening, but yeah. I've been also hearing the thinking around you.
Thank you so
look,
much,
America,
AO. I appreciate that.
America's coming after y'all. No, wake up, y'all.
A-O-L?
I love you. Peace.
A-O-L, all I have to say is you still think the way all black people think.
No, Joanne,
not
all black people.
He's calling that civil rights thought
pattern.
That over 55 thought mentality.
Yeah, that's old.
Hey, look, hold on. Let me tell you this. 24/7 is a programming normality.
See, all you all do just listen at things, negative things.
And you know what you're doing? You're running from program to program, hoping
that
you don't hit a crossroad. But crossroad is coming. When
that
dollar drops and
the
white folks hungry and they got guns, believe me, you'll see a lot of them you don't want to see.
All right.
Thank you, I appreciate your comments.
Y'all be blessed.
You too. We're going to go to line two, Gary.
I got guns, too.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
How are you, friend?
Your Republican friends are disillusioned once again.
He said disillusioned? Okay.
Donald Trump is not our problem. He's a white president's problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Why?
Because when African-Americans act up, we call them out, right?
Right.
Well, Latino Americans act up. They call them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
White people refuse to call Donald Trump out.
That's what we right? do.
Okay, if they refuse to call Donald Trump out, then what?
When we call him out, he'll go away. They won't do it.
Right. I agree if the media stopped making such a big deal over him, and then everybody else does as well. That's a good point.
When Raymond Simone said what he said, we called out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't white people call Donald Trump out? Call him out. What are you doing? This guy is a racist, a religious bigot, a sexist, and a disabled.
Right, I agree with you. He's a bigot, racist, and a sexist.
Have
you're
to
right.
Get those, he's wealthy. I mean, why does he have to be all those
I agree
things?
With you, Gary. Agree with you 100%.
Why does he have to be all of those things? Because he can do what he want to do anyhow, irregardless of. I mean, he just doesn't have to care about us talking about him being a bigot or racist.
But
doesn't
you don't. That's not a concern for you that he wants to be president.
No, because I wouldn't vote for him, and other people with common sense would not vote for him.
And for dinner, there's a lot of folks without the common sense because people are rallying behind this guy because he is saying what a lot of folks just want to hear.
2012, they had 15 people going number one in GOP.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
They go up and down. Right now, it's not even the primary season haven't hit yet.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's probably like March.
It's only 20-35% of people in the party.
And he's already capped out at 36%. He's not going to get more than that. So if he's already capped out at 36%, when it's time for a primary caucus states to come around, he's not getting more than that.
That's
okay,
all.
Let's go to the phones. Jean on line one. How are you, friend?
I'm fine. How are you, Freedom?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Y'all are giving him too much credit.
Okay.
He don't deserve any.
I agree with you 100%. Thank you for calling me and letting me know. Now, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say the man has not got sense enough to come in out the rain.
Oh,
but
wow.
Yet
you go.
He's got people scared, and that's terrible.
It is.
That's
it.
I mean,
it
who's going to be dumb enough to go out and vote for that man?
Well, you have people that will.
A handful of people.
That's right.
Exactly.
I agree with you, Gene.
I'm serious. I mean, people are panicking. We have great people in the United States of all faith,
Correct.
And color, I don't see color. I do not see color. I see the inside of a person.
There you go.
And to me, that's what life is all about. And for him to be, you know, scaring people so bad, God have mercy on his soul is all I got to say.
You're absolutely right. But do you think what he said yesterday, talking about keeping all the Muslims out, that plays right into ISIS hands as far as just...
Exactly.
Because they want... you know, a war where is you've on the same
where
level.
We're fighting among each other.
Right, exactly. We're fighting among each other. You're right, and that works. This works against
they're
us as well.
They're over there, Frida. They're laughing at us.
You're absolutely right.
All the countries are laughing at the U.S.
That's
because the
be
one nut.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're laughing as well because we have parties against each other. And then within the Republican Party, they are fighting as well. Because they don't know what to do with Trump.
Been.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with Trump.
I mean, in my personal opinion, there's nobody like President Obama.
There you go. Thank you.
I love him to death.
Tell Tanya one more time, because she's a little flaky on Obama.
No, I think he is doing a good job.
Oh, this week? Okay, we're good now.
I think he's a good, honest man. He's a great president.
Yep.
And hopefully, you know, we'll get another Democrat in there.
That's right.
Yes, that's right, Hillary.
I don't know if I want to say go that far. I would say I don't know if I want to say another Democrat. Or,
what
I guess,
Republican would you put in there?
You
know what?
Tell
what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is I'm not voting by party. I'm voting by a person's experience.
But neither am I. Honestly, Frida, I'm not.
I'll tell you what.
It's not an independent I would put in there.
Right. Well, as of yet.
So I'm, you know, I'm going with a Democrat.
Okay.
So Frida, who you vote for, Frida?
Bush.
Thank you, Gene. I appreciate your comments.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. I'm gonna shoot you. Well, since we resolved that issue and the fact we got a question, John asked if Islam is a terrorist religion.
Ouch.
Well, Islam is not a religion. If you talk to a real, you know, true Muslim, they said Islam is a way of life and right. not a per se religion. Mm-hmm. Muslim is ones who follows Islam. That's what a Muslim is. If you talk to true Muslims about Islam, they will tell you Islam is not per se a religion, is a way of life.
Excuse but it is me. But it I is the number two religion in the that. World, though.
But it's a religion.
It says a way of life.
But yeah, it's a way of life, not a religion.
Are we talking about the black Islam or the original?
Well, we're just talking Islam
international.
We're not defining it. Yes,
okay, because
Islam.
Yeah,
we
overall.
See it as a different.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I've been overseas. Middle East Muslims call American Muslims fake Muslims.
Okay,
they're
so
not real Muslims.
So that's what I'm
American Muslims is not
too.
Is not real Muslims. The Nation of Islam, you know, overseas, you know, Muslims call them fake. They're not real Muslims.
And that's how they do call us. We're not real. In other countries, they say black people. We don't know what black people are. You're an American, so I can understand that. Mm. But my question is, since the real Islam is, I think, in other countries, so that's where the problem is. These people are, those people are coming into our United States causing problems.
Yeah, because it's Sharia law. That's what they want to
bring You guys ever wonder why they had so many dictators in the Middle East?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can keep these people down.
Yeah.
Really. Mm-hmm. When you start giving them control, like democratic, look what happened. Mm. We freed, took the dictators out.
You should have never killed Saddam Hussein.
Exactly. He kept his foot on Gaddafi. They kept that stuff in order because they are tribal people. And they don't understand.
Gaddafi.
Don't get it.
And so why do we have to always push freedom on everybody?
Exactly. That's the problem.
That's what our problem is in the United States.
Yeah, Obama, you know.
So you got people that are trying to be free from a particular group. Are trying to be free from a particular group. So we're supposed to just let them just be
why do we go to that other country and fight for them?
We should know better as a people of color that have gone through that.
I agree with you, Tanya, but my point is that once we got rid of Saddam Hussein, look what happened.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't when we got rid of
civil war. Look at Libya. Look at Libya and Syria.
What happened was What happened was not when they got rid of when we got rid of Saddam Hussein. We got rid of Saddam Hussein, and we didn't bring. You know, we wasn't there to bring about American democracy. We was there to bring about what that nation really wanted as far as their form of government.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem came is in 2008. 2007, Gaddafi was taken off the terrorist watch list because he gave America all his weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
That's when Susan Rice went over there, Condoleezza Rice went over there and met with him. And then in 2009, he came to our UN summit. And then in 2010, Obama helped the UN go in and oust him. Gaddafi and kill him, and then that's when
I'm gonna go back to something you said. In my opinion, Islam is a religion, the faith of the Muslims. That's what I thought. Mm. Okay,
well, it is.
Yeah. But I was saying, you know, speaking to, you know, Muslims, they said that it's not so much a religion, but
a
way of life.
It's a lifestyle.
Let me go to the phone. LC on line one. How are you, friend?
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I was just listening to your show a few minutes ago, and I didn't get to hear who your guest was on that today.
Okay, I have Eric Balsall, Joanne Henry, Wendell Saul, and Uncle Mo.
And they represent, well, the reason why I called, because I thought I heard, and then this lady, I don't know her name, she identified herself as black, but I think if two of them guests on your show said they didn't think the KKK was a terrorist group.
Right, you did.
Yeah, I thought, I had to make sure that I heard.
Yeah, you're right, LC.
You heard that, right. You want to respond to that?
His name is Eric,
too. Yeah,
it was Eric. You want to respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody, I don't care what generation you came from, whether you was born, I'm 61 years old, I was born in 1954, so I understand about segregation and all the hate crimes and stuff that was going on back then.
LC, do me a favor. LC, hold on just a minute. We got to take a break, okay? Hold on.
And sing till
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Text advertise to 63975 or call 844-321-1010 to see how Freedom Marketing can put your business on the map. For a lot less than you may think, call 844-321-1010 or text advertise to 63975 today.
Has your health insurance changed or is it about to change? Are you or did you move to a different state, change jobs, get a divorce, get married, or have a baby? Then you know what? You may qualify for a special health insurance enrollment period for the affordable Obamacare plans. And to find the right plan, you can get free help right now from Health Markets. They'll help you choose the right plan from over 140 different companies, plus help you maximize your Obamacare free government subsidies. Why pay a penny more than you have to for health insurance? Call anytime, day or night, to learn more about the special enrollment period to qualify for Obamacare. Here's our number. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Not available in all states.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24-7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona. We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Dinah Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
Go ahead, man.
Here, have a dollar. In fact, no, brother man, here, have two. $2 means a snack for me, but it means a big deal to you. Be strong, serve God only. Know that if you do, beautiful heaven awaits. Asked to pull my rope for the first time. I saw a man with no clothes, no money, no plate, Mr. Wyndham. Asked his name. No one ever knew his name, cause he's a no one. Never thought twice about spending on an old bum until I had the chance to really get to know one. Now that I know him, to give him money isn't charity. He gives me some knowledge, I buy him some shoes. And to think blacks spend all their money on big colleges, still most of y'all come out confused. Go ahead, Mr. Wynn. Go ahead, Mr. Wynn. Has freedom, a free that you and I think is dumb. Free to be without the worries of a quick to diss society. For Mr. Window's a bum. His only worries are sickness and an occasional harassment by the police in their chase. Uncivilized, we call him, but I just saw him eat off the food we waste. Civilization, are we really civilized? Yes or no? Who are we to judge when thousands of innocent men could be brutally enslaved or killed?
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
You stand tall. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell.
Elsie, we're back. Go ahead and finish your comment.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I'm not upset and kind of disappointed, but, I would advise, because the reason why I think she did identify herself as black, because I didn't think, well, the black person in America didn't think that the KKK was a terrorist group because black folks suffered so badly up under that organization for so many years and doing so now under the disguise of police officers. Mm-hmm. I always say everybody's trying to get political correct. So the KKK now, they still alive and well. I think most of them joined the police force and under the disguise of being police officers. That's why so many blacks being killed, unarmed black men.
And running for
killed,
office.
By these police officers. But also was said that I would like that lady and that gentleman to go and do some history and research on the KKK and see what they think after they do a good and they don't have to do a long research, and then they can find out whether the KKK is a terrorist group or not.
Joanne, and Eric, y'all want to respond?
This is opinion. We good.
Do some homework. What he told you to do.
We've already done that.
Find the book.
I'm not stuck in the civil rights era. Yeah. I mean, I kind of think more.
Whatever you think is fine.
Thought pattern. I'm good. I mean,
based on y'all's claim, you know what?
I'm glad you all said it because today is the 150th anniversary since the end of slavery.
Right.
In case y'all didn't know that or not. And just reading, when I think about my ancestors and what they went through.
You said 150
and,
years?
150 years, yeah. And what they went through, I have to take my hat off to them because, to think that, you can't get on a bus or somebody spit in your face or treat you like a dog. And what we're dealing with right now, I know I wouldn't have lasted in the Civil War. They would have gone ahead and just killed.
Yeah. That didn't happen to everybody. But I'm going to tell y'all something right now. The best thing that happened to black folks was slavery in America.
Because you can
think on that.
You appreciate it. Now we need to go back to slavery with all half our kids
totally
out
speechless.
Here with their pants hanging down. They don't want an education. They're already making themselves slaves again.
I'm trying my best to not walk off the show right now. Y'all
that'll be two of us. Two of us. How do you feel? Okay, wait a minute, Eric. Let me just deal with this. How do you think the worst thing that happened to us is that being free from slavery? Just explain that. Just explain that to me.
Intelligent people were the back in the day.
Let me collect my
I'm waiting for an intelligent person.
I want Eric to explain that. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, you think about it. Our forefathers took a hit for that, but where would we be if it wasn't for slavery? Like, you wouldn't have a Tanya Free show. You wouldn't have a Barack Obama. You wouldn't have, people who invented hip hop music, different inventions, George Washington Carver. They were a product of slavery, which is a great thing.
All
right.
So that's what I mean. They took a hit from the slavery, but that's wrong. But I'm saying, I would be in Nigeria somewhere as a boy soldier one leg.
You couldn't do that without slavery.
What? You would have had that influx of black folks come to America.
Pull out your dustpan and broom and go ahead and clean it up. No. Is that what you're doing?
That's what I mean.
Sweep it up. But Joanne ain't doing that. She ain't doing that.
Her
she says something
really
different.
No,
please,
but integration, when we were in segregation, we had people, our parents did not have the education we had. We're all in a community. Now we are all over the place. Yeah. That's why our kids are uneducated. They're walking around disrespecting people.
So you're saying we couldn't have done that without slavery?
That's
in
what
the
I
place?
Just said.
Is that what you're saying?
I can't follow them.
Is that what you're telling me?
Well, we can't do it now. Look at us now.
Reggie, we lost you.
Are you telling me that without
call
that,
back,
that
please.
It's not possible? Are you? Is that
look
what you're saying?
Look at us now. Where are we?
I guess I'm just having a hard time. I'm with you.
I'm trying not
you're
to put you on the front of a current PSA poster right now. I'm having a hard time without doing that.
Bro, look at us now. We got
I'm looking at you
everything
now, and you're talking
so
for the claim.
Free.
I'm looking at you
free,
right now.
But yet we're gone back. And we're not really gone back. I don't know where we are.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that
I tell you what, if they come through here today and put you back on the on the plantation, tell me how good it is. Maybe your kids and grandkids or whoever have a better way.
If you all are trying to say that where we are now is because we do not appreciate what our ancestors went through.
Yes.
That's a part of it.
That doesn't mean that we had to be in slavery in order to get
to get it.
No.
Right.
The
Klan didn't put us in slavery.
We have morals and values.
Okay, I guess I would approach it from a different standpoint. How did we get to this point? Where did we lose everything that our ancestors built? Look at it from that standpoint.
Oh,
not look at
integration.
It from the standpoint that
integration
that's what we're saying.
Okay, not look at it from the standpoint that, you know, we were better off when we were slaves.
No, no, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No,
we don't talk about that.
Because
said,
of slavery.
No. Because of slavery, you have the greatness of black people in this country. Through economy, you have Michael Jordan having
I
a basketball team.
You on that. You
have,
I can't go with you that.
Look,
on
how would you have gotten blacks in this country regardless?
No, because you got folks of all races that have done well. Not everybody's been in slavery in order to get to where they are. I can't go
every,
with you on that.
Every nationality has been in slavery.
I can't.
Thank you.
Every nationality have been in
so
slavery.
I can't
slavery.
Go with y'all
they,
on
they
that.
They have been in slavery. Every nationality.
Tanya, back in the 60s. Or before we were integrated, we all were close-knitted. Our parents knew what they wanted for us.
The question I'm asking, what is it, what, how has it changed that we are not close-knitted? Just because we've been integrated, what has caused us to be where we are now? And not all of us are doing bad.
No, not all of us. But the people who
the
people who aren't, it's because they don't have the same values and morals that we had back in the 60s when our parents wanted something for us.
You forgot your place? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Please. No. Oh, take your seat, man.
Okay.
No. Take your place. No. Take your place.
Now
since we were talking about what we used to have, let's talk about the church, because that's one of the things we had back in the day where we could go and be as one.
Yes.
And whereas if we needed something, the church was there.
Yes.
Was there. Yeah. We had elders and seniors, and the church was a guidance and sort of a safe haven in many ways. Now, it's a totally different ballgame. We were talking about during the break. You brought up the pastor. I really don't mean to call his name because it's just unbelievable.
Fred C.K. Price.
Well, back then, the ministers weren't looking for money because people didn't have that much money.
And trying,
trying to build things and all that sort of thing. Okay.
Where did we go wrong with regards to that? Because in my opinion, a lot of churches now are commercialized. And we talk about the black ministers that were supporting Donald Trump. And you brought up a very good point, Eric.
Eric, before you say anything, you know where we're going now? Because back that day, when we didn't have making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, because we didn't have that many jobs for black folks. Now we got jobs where we're making the big money. We want to go where the minister has an education. He's a doctor. And we got to tie and give him money.
Okay.
So that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the points I was making that these ministers that were met with Donald Trump, that most of the congregation are Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're kind of blown away to find out these guys were actually siding with the Republicans.
Hmm. Right. And the thing is, somebody said during a break that even though the congregation is Democrat, being that they said it didn't endorse Donald Trump, but I've heard the word endorsement during news interviews. Mm-hmm. And you would have congregations that would still, even though they Republican, will follow their ministers.
Like sheep.
And that, vote against their own interests.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, my pastor. Right, exactly. And that's the misleading part that is very disturbing, because like I said, it used to be a time when the church was more of a safe haven, and I don't recall when they got so entrenched with politics that they were trying to lead the whole congregation one way or the other.
Yeah.
That if it wasn't
especially when the pastor of a church whole premise of following somebody is based on financial gain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they talk about is financial gain. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're following a pastor, you're following him for, spiritual guidance. He's not your end-all, be-all, but just a spiritual, guide, And so if he's following somebody, looking at somebody, say, he want to vote for, and he don't talk about the spiritual, relationship that he have with God, the reason why he actually considering this person. But when he just talk about him as a means to finances, that's totally
right.
It's gotten
commercial. The churches have gotten very commercialized.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate part. That is what's been lost. Mm-hmm. What we've lost over the many years, know.
But I think that came from Jesse Jackson.
I'm not going to throw that on him. I'm not going to put that on him.
Pay him to get that vote.
Oh, man.
I'm not.
And that's why Malcolm X called black people political chumps.
You did.
That was okay. Malcolm X called black people political chumps. All because if they followed Jesse Jackson, mm-hmm. voted him in, and they but became Jesse worse Jackson off than they was before they voted him in.
But Jesse Jackson doesn't have a church now, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
He ever had a church?
I don't think he has a church now. If I'm not mistaken.
He had one before?
I'm not sure. I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
He was a Roman minister or something. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, you could be a minister, but that doesn't mean you have a church.
What it was, he came out of the Southern Baptist, which Martin Luther King headed up before he was assassinated. And after Martin Luther King got assassinated, then those leaders start coming forward. That's why, you know, you got people like Jesse Jackson and other black ministers that came up during that time start doing other things because at first they was totally under the umbrella of Dr. King down in the Southern Baptist. And he wasn't having all this, you know, us against them agenda thing going on. His whole thing was unity and everything like that. But once he got assassinated, all those leaders that were under him, you know, they start going off on
a bunch of substitute teachers.
Well, I'll tell you, y'all got to hold those thoughts. Hold those thoughts. We got to take a break. Black Talk Commentary. Take a listen.
Here we are on earth together, and you and I. God has made us fall in love, it's true. I rarely found someone like you. Well, let's say the love you feel for me. Well, let's say that you will be by my side to see me through until my life is through. Well, in my mind, we can conquer.
Occurred on December the 6th, 1865, with the passage of the 13th Amendment. Today at 11 a.m. Eastern Time in Washington, D.C., President Obama, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and other politicians held a commemoration of the passage of the amendment, which did not abolish slavery but made it legal as a punishment for crime. Section 1 of the 13th Amendment clearly states, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Logic says you cannot make an exception for something while claiming to abolish it. In the 150 years since the ratification of the 13th Amendment, more African-descended people have been enslaved through the prison plantations of America than at any time preceding the ratification of the fraudulent 13th Amendment. In her book, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness, author and legal scholar Michelle Alexander cites the exception clause of the 13th Amendment
as the continuation of slavery in the United States. Shame on each and every person that participated in the ceremony today in Washington, D.C. to further cement in the minds of the masses the lie that the institution of slavery has been abolished in the United States when 21st century slavery.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani, 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 AM. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for two power-packed hours of news you can use, feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's Get Busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM 1450 AM.
This is Tanya Free. Did you know that stroke is reportedly the third leading cause of death in the U.S.? Recognizing the signs of a stroke and getting someone to the hospital quickly is key to reducing the damage. If someone suddenly loses the ability to speak or move an arm or leg on one side or facial paralysis on one side, call 911 immediately. Know the signs and act in time. Tanya's Medical Minute is sponsored by the Capital Area Health Network, the heart of the community.
Join Tanya Free and friends at TanyaFree.com.
Hi, I'm Brian Taylor with Send Out Cards. Send Out Cards is a card and gifting business like none other. This product will help you with prospecting. It will also help you with customer retention. Your friends and family will love the gifts and cards that you send to them. For more information on this amazing product, text Send Out Cards, all one word, 63975. Again, I'm Brian Taylor with Send Out Cards. Text Send Out Cards, all one word, 63975.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We're going straight to the phone. Stuart on line one. How are you, friend?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Good.
Yeah, I want to get into this thing about the church. And you guys bring up a good point when you talk about the history. I don't care whether you're a follower or whether you're a pastor or a minister. I think a lot of people are completely disconnected from the history and the whole purpose of the black church, as we like to call it. Because for the most part here in America, we basically had to worship separately and create our own.
Right.
And what eventually ensued from that was from the abolitionist movement,
mm-hmm.
Post-Civil War movement,
Emancipation Proclamation.
We understood the importance of the church as an institution, and I can't emphasize that enough.
Right.
As an institution. And when you talk about an institution, you're talking about something that's got a lot of power. I'm talking about economic empowerment, educational empowerment. You go back and you look at that history, HBCUs. Part of those HBCUs were started by ministries and churches, black churches.
A whole lot of them.
If you want to talk about economics.
Right.
Right here in Richmond, Virginia, Jackson Ward, where I grew up at, and it blew me away as a young man and lifted me up, that the first bank, not Mandela Walker, but the actual first bank and insurance companies were started by pastors and ministers. Which brings me fast forward to where we are right now. We've gotten disconnected from that.
You're right. It wasn't commercialized like it is now.
Pastor, hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you have people like Pastor Parson, and I got to bring him up. And the reason why I want to put him on blast because
here we go.
He seems to have so much to say about economic empowerment and bear me where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
He pointed out that. He came out of his mouth and talked about black people and welfare and church. You know, the typical Ronald Reagan welfare queen stereotype nonsense. Like most of the people on welfare ain't white. But here this man is, right here in Richmond, Virginia. At the time that he started his labor church, Consolidated Bank was on a decline. Do you think he, and I'm not just blaming him, there's some other ones too, do you think they put their money together to keep that bank open?
Mm-mm.
No, they put their money in the white folk bank. That red line against black people till this day.
And they still
so he don't have a pinky toenail to stand on none of these pastors and ministers.
They still put their money in the white
church. I just wanted to bring that point up because I think, and one more thing I want to say, with black folks, the reason why I'm going here with black people, because I know some black people are saying, isn't that racial? Well, if you look at the white boys, like this Junior, what's his name? Farwell Junior. Okay?
Yeah.
They got an institution. Few black people go there, but that's white folks. They produce lawyers. They produce judges. They produce the kind of people who are passing laws right now that are working against black folks.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to get with on that. I just wanted to make that point.
Thank you. That was an excellent point. And like he was saying, I agree with him 100%. That's what our churches used to do, produce doctors, lawyers, and support the black banks. Where are we now?
We don't even have a black bank. Megan Walker's gone. That's all belongs to white people. And we still, our black church is still taking their millions of dollars that they rake up every Sunday from, not me, from people putting it in Bank of America, Wells Fargo.
Stuart, you're gonna respond?
Yeah, and I mean, I emphasize that because, you know, just like with any group, I mean, that was the institution that black people really own.
Right.
That allowed us to progress. We can't get away from that. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. I'm proud to be, you know, to say I'm a Christian in the black church, but I'm more or less into the history. This stuff out right now is like a network marketing, Ponzi scheme, prosperity. I mean, I've been in network marketing. When I'm going to a church nowadays, sometimes it reminds me of some experience that I had in network marketing. When you got to boast and brag about what you got.
Yep.
Like a pyramid scheme, seeing how loyal you is to it. So if I'm a loyal Christian, I got to walk around and prove how loyal I am. I got a house, I got this. I'm living from paycheck to paycheck instead of boasting and saying, hey, man, my church just started up a charter school.
Hey, you're talking about that. You know, Speaking of that, our churches here in Richmond, they don't start up anything. I did go to another state, and the black churches have apartments, senior citizens, living headquarters, everything. I do not see any of that here in Richmond.
In all fairness, you make up a good point. There are a few that are doing that. You know, I know if there's something in legacy publication the other week where they were talking about there were a few churches that really did got together and did some co-op. But we just got to put these people on blast. I don't care whether it's Republican, Democrat, who they are.
Right, I agree with you 100%.
We got to hold these folks accountable, particularly the ones that come out and speak like that. I am a little bit hard on the conservative ones because they seem to be the ones that keep telling black folks don't look to the government. But if you go and you ask them, I say, well, where is your Fortune 500 company? Where is your business? Demonstrating me by example, you get tricky. You can't show you anything.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your comments. Eric, you made a comment during the break that was very good. Would you say what you said before?
You don't remember?
I said so much.
That you have. No question about that. We were talking about the church and how it was not representing, something along the lines, not representing us as a people and being commercialized. You don't remember? Well, don't worry about it. You remember later on, in between.
Yeah, yeah. He went to sleep over here.
Wake up.
It was so interesting what Stuart was talking about. You know, I kind of lost my state of mind again.
Well, I think what he said was right on point, that our churches need to do better in serving the community, mm-hmm. opposed to taking from the community and buying jets and
serving themselves.
Yeah, that's my
right, becoming
it's a
commercialized.
Pump.
And you know, it's really sad when you have a family or a single mother mm-hmm. giving her last, dollar. And she's not able to make it, and you go into a church and they beg and give this, and mm-hmm. Like the money's going to fall out of the sky, once you give it. That is so disturbing.
And then when that mother goes and asks for it, well, let me look and see, have you been paying your dues?
Exactly.
Are you tithing?
Jump through hoops. Mm-hmm. Right. Or even if you just need something, as far as assistance in helping your child, education wise. If you call the church, you got to, or if you need assistance as far as
light bill,
anything, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you got to go through a bunch of hoops. Yeah. But
Catholics do that though. They look out with a Catholic diocese or something. You can call them to pay your rent mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
But you have, in order to go to any, you have to be a member of this of a church in order for them to do something for you. And if you're not paying your tithes or your dues, which they can go back and look and see. Ha ha! Sorry,
yeah,
we can't help you.
Excellent bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Accounts,
Yes.
And it shouldn't be that, because you may be a person that may not be able to tithe, or even if you're not a member of the church, but you attend and you're doing the best you can, mm-hmm. and just a little assistance, even if they assist maybe once or twice, and then after that, if they see it's a habit, then that's a little different. Maybe mm-hmm. you need some other type services.
Right.
I think they have classes in church. They have the high class people that can throw out the $1,000, the middle class that can throw out $500, and then the bottom level cannot throw up a $5 or $10, and they aren't going to be recognized. But if you go to some churches on Sundays, that minister stand up in that pulpit, and he will call, Brother John, the best thing since cornflakes, because he's pulling out $1,000.
He got his own brick with his name in it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a sad thing, and when you talk about far as what it used to be before integration, that's what we need to get back to.
And we need to get back to the part where ministers aren't telling their congregation who to vote for and getting money under the table, because it's not going to the church, it's going in their pockets.
Right. So, but getting back to what we were talking about before, the San Bernardino mm-hmm. Perpetrators. And President Obama brought up a good issue the other day when he was giving his speech, as to these two people were not on any sort of list of any kind.
They was on no-fly list.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they weren't. No, I looked at them. I'm like, uh-uh. No, they weren't. No, they were not on any list at all. None. Yeah. But that brings up the question.
President Obama in his speech said if you're on the list, why should you be able to get a gun?
No, he wasn't talking about the two of them.
Oh.
What he was talking about in general, if you are on a no-fly list, should you not be able to purchase a gun? Now, the Republicans do not think you should be. But to me, that is crazy. If you are not able to fly, why should you have the right to purchase a gun?
I agree with you.
If you're on a no-fly list, why should you be walking the streets anyway?
Because that means
that you are being seen as a possible connection to some kind of terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. So why should you be allowed to walk the street if you're on a no-fly list?
Where should it be?
Gitmo.
That's right.
If you are on a no-fly list,
But you haven't done anything wrong. You're just on the list as possibly a possible risk. If you think you may be associated with someone that may be,
but why would they be looking at you as possibly associated with someone?
Look, they don't put people on that list because, you know, I think you might have a tie with, they know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They know who you well, are, what you're doing, and your affiliations. Rubio, they know these
Mark
things.
Rubio said that it's possible you could be on that list by mistake.
Yeah, it's a lot. The FBI list that just came out last week show almost 1,000 people on there that had no business.
It's not foolproof.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so that should not be on that list. So then if there is a mistake, why would you throw folks in, you said Gitmo or whatever, if it is a mistake? I think if you have, it's one thing if you're on a no-fly list and you watch people. But just because you're on a no-fly list, I don't think you should automatically just put a person away.
Check this out. If the Fox News Fox News person, and in 2013, he went overseas and came back. And when he came back, he found out that he was on a no-fly list. So he was fighting with the federal government to try to figure out, why am I on a no-fly list? It wasn't until Brett Baer, earlier this year, with the Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johns, mm-hmm. asked him in the interview, why is this correspondent on a no-fly list? Less than a week later, he was off the no-fly list. Mm. 3 years, almost 3 years.
Okay.
This Fox News analyst, you know, guy that's seen on Fox News was on the no-fly list.
He was the wrong country.
He talked to the wrong person while he was there.
Just think by being a mistake.
Good police work, you ask me.
Make
sure it's done right.
Yeah.
Uncle Mo was saying, put him in Gitmo, or put him someplace. I don't think a person should be put away just because you're on a no-fly list. I just think that
if you're gonna put somebody on the list.
You watch them.
Be efficient. Well, see, when you watch, you can watch people kill
some
somebody
too.
All right, if you're going to put them on the list, you need to go and do some work and make sure it's done right.
All right.
To either validate it or get them off.
Okay, let's take a break. Today's jazz break is Jingle Bell, Rock by Kenny G, sponsored by Hong Kong Tailors. Custom and ready-made fashions for men and women. Give them a call, 804-359-5441.
Tanya Free. Hong Kong Tailors at 3200 West Broad has been catering to your needs for over 40 years. Custom-made suits, shirts, pants, coats, and more. Need that special outfit today? No problem. Visit their extensive selection of ready-made fashion and accessories for both men and women. The smart way to shop and a better way to dress. Mention Tanya Free and receive a 10% discount on your next purchase. That's Hong Kong Tailors, 3200 West Broad, 804-359-5441.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Rand Paul was on Meet the Press this Sunday and had an interesting take. He said, if the amputees at that rehab center had arms, were armed, they would have been able to stop Farouk Saeed. How was that? Well, that was perfect.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
New time, 10 a.m. mornings on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now, 800-610-3497, 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
You're listening to AM/FM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Hi, this is your buddy Chocolate Chip again. Remember those gifts you received last Christmas that you didn't need and never used? All you really needed was a nice, comfortable bed to rest your weary head. This year, give yourself Ola One, a brand-name reconditioned mattress from Furniture at the Venus. $79 for a twin, $89 for a full, with queens going for $99 and kings for only $149. And look, mention this ad and receive 10% off the total purchase. That's Furniture at the Venus, 1420 A. Hull Street, open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. Give them a call at 232-3500.
The conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Okay. We were talking about as far as being able to recognize a terrorist. And in my opinion, I don't think you can, because the gentleman, or not the gentleman, sorry, he's not a gentleman, the perpetrator in the shooting for San Bernardino worked for the county for like 5 years. And all the people that, you know, he killed, I'm quite sure they had no idea that he was a terrorist.
No.
Not at all. So no, you can't spot a terrorist, and I go back once again. Hey. Just because you Muslim, I mean, just think about the people in Charleston, South Carolina, when that boy
sat in
the church and had service with them. Yep. They had no idea that he was going to come back with a gun and shoot them, you know, kill them.
White supremacist skinhead. Yep.
Right. So
you got to profile young white teenagers in. Profile them. Mm-hmm. Shooting up schools and shooting up churches.
But they shooting up for us. We don't have to do it. They shoot them up for us.
Wait a minute, Joanne.
Black people do not have to do
like, you sound like Donald Trump now. You begin to sound like Donald Trump now. I want you to turn off any Donald Trump. You are Donald Trump overload.
Let them go in and work for us.
You are Donald Trump overload right now. Okay, no more Donald Trump for you. But that's the thing. It's no way, and I think that you can detect or tell what a terrorist is because, like I said, my definition of terrorists go way beyond, you know, a religious group or ethnicity.
It was amazing. Also, she was a true believer because she left her 6-month-old baby behind.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think she radicalized him.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I think she radicalized him. Mm-hmm. And I think that because she was from Pakistan.
Oh, okay.
And I think he went there and married and what happened. But he had some issues growing up as a child from what I can read, but I read rather. Mm-hmm. And I think she radicalized him, and I think it took like 2 years or what have you. Mm.
She turned him out.
To change his mind.
Yeah.
She turned that man out. Simple as that.
Well, being a Muslim doesn't mean you are, you know, Islamic extremist jihadist, but, you know.
Almost.
That's true.
You know.
I agree with that. So
yeah, just like being a Christian, just like being a white Christian doesn't mean you sympathize with the Klan. But the Klan definitely falls under pure D Christian beliefs. Mm-hmm. That's the way they paint themselves.
It's supposed to be Christian beliefs.
Because
their interpretation.
Exactly, it's their interpretation.
How do you claim to be a Christian but then you hate people?
Yeah. How do you claim to be a Muslim but then you hate people?
The Quran tells you to do that.
Or kill a certain group of people.
The Quran said hate?
Yeah, killed infidels. Yeah. Yeah. The infidel. Y'all must not know a lot about
I don't.
About
I'm sorry. I am not, okay. I am not a scholar
Google.
In that.
Yeah, Google. Please do.
Well. Okay, somebody calling you to discuss that issue with you. But that's the thing. How do you confess or to be a Christian and then you hate a certain group or hate people, period?
Yeah.
If Christ was about love, you know, everybody, not because of what your, you know, religion or
they're all loose to interpretation.
Color,
yeah, that would
and
his interpretation said, you know,
love thy neighbor as thyself. Right.
I mean, how can you interpret that to hate somebody else?
Right.
But in the Bible, you know,
you just don't read that part.
They don't read that part.
You read something else.
The one that y'all just about like. Let's go to the phones. Earl on line one. Hi, Earl. How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
Y'all are going where I was going to try to go because, see, you're right. We can't identify a person's mind within their mind and what their journey might have been.
Right.
What we can do is when y'all have already hit the point of yesteryear, how it used to be in the community. So it comes back down to the fact that we got to get to know our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We got to get to know back to that PTA. We got to get back to that community involvement. Get to know who's in our community in order to get an idea of who's in our community to be able to move forward. Otherwise, we're going to just continue to hyperpolate the various different situations that can happen. We're going to continue to blame others. See, notice what we said. It's either the president, it is always somebody else. Even Adam and Eve, the first thing they did was they blamed each other. Mm-hmm. When we accept the responsibility, here it hit something, and y'all, you know, we kind of brushed through it, which was, what was the effect of after slavery? And what it did for us was that we had that freedom of choice, but then we took it to what we believe what the white man was saying, and because of our experience with each other, that their ice is colder than ours. So we don't patronize one another. Mm-hmm. We talk it. We continue to talk it. We don't say vote, get out and vote. We don't vote it for the same people. Time and time again, we've been getting the same result. Things getting worse and worse. We complain about the Republican preachers going and speak with their people, and the Democratic preachers ain't doing nothing for us. It comes to us as individuals taking ownership for ourselves to move forward as a people. Remember, Scripture says there's many members in the body of Christ. So it's a lot of us that's members, but we're sitting down and not standing up and letting our light be shine. And until that happens, all we're going to do is continue to talk. Rhetoric and conversation.
You're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%.
Thank you, Earl.
Thank you, Earl. We appreciate it. And that's true. In fact, let's talk about Chicago a bit. They're trying to get the mayor to resign.
He has to.
And they're protesting. We've protested continuously with various different incidents. And I don't know if protesting.
But who are they going to put in? Because they're going to put in the same style. You know, politician as Rahm Emanuel. Their last three governors and mayors have all gone to prison. So who are they going to put in? Their last three has gone to prison.
Okay, what do you suggest then, Wendell?
I'm not in Chicago. I don't know the Chicago power structure.
Well,
I don't know the makeup.
You enough to say that, you
but,
know.
But I'm saying, who are they
like AO.
Trying to put up there? Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you think the mayor should resign?
if I was in Chicago and that happened, you know, I would be calling for him to resign. But I, just because of who I am, I need to know who, you know, is in my power structure and to see who...
To replace him?
Yeah, to replace him and, you know, who have I been looking at? Because well, you just can't say, get out. Who are you going to put in there?
I'm quite sure they have somebody.
If he's that corrupt, you don't keep him in there because you don't have anybody to replace him.
Yeah. Right.
But
exactly.
Is he corrupt or is he the next person
in line?
The way your structure is set up, when just because one person is gone doesn't mean that the train stops moving.
Right, exactly.
You
got to
put the next person. It's this next man up mentality. And with everybody in Chicago in that area going to jail behind the same ridiculous mess, you would think that somebody in there is going to be like, you know what? If you mess this up, you know what's going to happen, don't you? You're going to jail just like your buddy. So look here. Mm-hmm. This is the job. This is what it entails. You go the wrong direction, we're going to chop your head off on this thing. Figuratively, of course, I'm not talking about cutting your head off. But I'm just saying, this is what it's going to be until you get the right man in there.
But none of them didn't even vote.
It was on CNN, Fox News, and it's on you. Pull it up on YouTube. Down in Chicago, when Rahm Emanuel got elected again for the second term, they had a big meeting. Al Sharpton and all them, they had the big meeting. And one of the older gentlemen was saying, we keep having these meetings, but the power structure keep doing the same thing. He said, I ain't telling us to be the Tea Party. What I'm telling y'all is we need to learn a lesson from the Tea Party and how to put a power structure in that's going to benefit us. And that's what he was basically going towards. Like I said, you can pull it up on YouTube, and it was on CNN and all the news stations. But if you keep doing the same thing, keep electing. He was saying if you keep electing the same type of people in,
you
don't get the same result.
Wait a minute, but
I think it is. Right.
Yeah.
Tea Party in our
But I think it is a step forward to say, okay, if you are not representing and you're covering up things that shouldn't be covered, especially law enforcement, then yes, you need to go.
Yeah.
And there is, like Uncle Mo said, someone in line or someone in place or someone will step up to the plate. The people will put someone in place.
Sure?
It's much better than keeping the same person. The last
three elected leaders, governor and mayor, has all gone to prison.
Well, it doesn't mean not that everybody. Governor. It doesn't mean that everybody is corrupt.
Who was it?
How are you going to get change if you don't make a change?
Say it again.
How are you going to get change if you don't make a change?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know,
a lot of them did.
Yeah. Belokovic.
Do you think they're being corrupted or turned while they're in office, or do you think they were dirty when they got elected?
I think they dirty when they got elected because the whole political system is dirty.
The whole system is kind of shaky.
Yeah, the whole system is dirty.
Chicago's known for that.
These are the questions
to ask. So it may not be the fact that your system is jacked. You're putting the wrong people in place from the get-go. From the ground up, everything is dirty. Maybe you need to go ahead and start over. But you've already elected certain people in position. If you don't have anything on the man, second behind the mayor, he is the man to pull up. There is no discussion.
Yeah.
If you don't like what you got, find something on it, move him out the way.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
Next man up mentality.
That's what they're trying to do in Detroit. But at the same time, it's still the same system.
Yeah.
And they feeling the same kind of effects that they did with the last one.
The only last good mayor they had was Harold Washington.
Mm-hmm. That was it. One of the best.
Yeah.
Harold Washington.
Well, I commend the people in Chicago. The only thing is I'm just not sure the protests will get the job done that they're trying to get done.
It's a peaceful protest as of right now.
Yeah, as of right now.
And when the sun goes down in Chicago, if you ain't been there before, you might not understand how it works.
Mm-hmm.
When the sun go down in Chicago, let me tell you something. The landscape changes drastically.
Yeah, it does.
They got the alderman system. And they got, you know, it's really different how they get elected to, you know, in the General Assembly and stuff like that. So Chicago is different.
I mean, evidently there's a lot of holes in the bucket.
Let me pose the question to everybody once again. Do you all think Mayor Rahm Emanuel needs to resign?
Yes, Eric? He needs to resign. Yes.
Joyce?
I want to hear or read the details of this apology he just gave. Because the people are asking his resignation based on his apology. I'm sure, I know it's a cover, but I want to hear what he said. Because right after he had his little apology, there's an eruption in Chicago and people are just mm-hmm. out of control. He did it. Yeah, he needs to go.
Do you think he can actually apologize? There is an apology that will be acceptable, I should say, for the cover-up of this young man being shot, the money that was given to the family, that, you know, before they even file a claim or anything,
no.
and then coming out later on.
Yes. See, I think that's probably the biggest thing that's pushing, you know, them to call for his resignation, because when people found out that the family got $5 million and the kid was a ward of the state.
Right.
They were like, how could he be a ward of the state and his parents get $5 million?
That's called hush. That's called hush.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You keep his thing quiet.
How can you apologize for that?
Yeah.
Well, you can only You only get one time to make an apology. Mm-hmm. No matter how good it is, when you're done with that one, there's no more. So there's nothing else he can say about it. Yeah. If it went down the way it's looking. Yeah, he needs to step down.
Yeah,
the backup quarterback needs to go ahead and get his arm warmed up. Backup quarterback, get ready because he got to go in the game tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. He got to get in there right now.
All I need to say is they
gave the chief as a sacrificial lamb, and that did not work.
All I say is for the residents of Chicago, you know, and the state of Illinois. Y'all need to go ahead and elect conservative Republicans so we can have 34 states with governors and 34 another state with
Republicans. Okay, we're going to take a break on that. We're going to take a break.
The latest in sports, celebrity, and entertainment news. Here's The Sip this week. Congrats to Kim and Kanye on the birth of their baby boy. No name yet, but I'm sure it will be good and weird. In other news, Portia Williams popped somebody. No, not Cynthia this time. Apparently a friend named Jamie, who showed up to a party with a guy that Portia apparently had an issue with. More info to come, I'm sure. And Aisha Curry is saying, leave something to the imagination. She tweeted that she's not with the fashion trend of being half naked. Apparently, some people feel she's slut-shaming. Is it really that deep? Let her live with an opinion, y'all. I'm just saying. Check out more on my site, thesipwithcoffeeblack.com, and tune in next week on the new musicexchangeradio.com for The Sip with Coffee Black. No sugar, no cream.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device,
on your computer,
in your ear,
and interactive.
It's new,
it's innovative,
and it's on your mobile device,
Android,
iPhone, iPad, and on your computer.
Take us wherever you go,
because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Are you nearing eligibility for Medicare benefits? Then you know now is an important time in your life. Medicare benefits can be a complicated puzzle. You don't want to overpay for your Medicare coverage or get the wrong plan.
Let Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. With one free phone call, a licensed insurance agent will help you select a Medicare plan that's right for you and your budget. If you're becoming eligible for Medicare, call today and learn how to get the most out of your benefits.
800-365-6303. 800-365-6303.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA or assumed name of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is an authorized insurance agency in all 50 states in the District of Columbia. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service and product availability varies by state.
Call 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. That's 800-365-6303.
Check out the Tanya Free and Friends Rewind every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the May We Help You Radio Network at MWHWRadio.com.
Back to life, back to reality, back to life, back to reality.
The conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Okay, I'm few comments I want to read. Kevin T. said, ignorance is running rampant on your show today, with the exception of Uncle Mo. Okay, I'm going to give you a chance.
And you also free.
Oh, me? Okay, thank you for including me with Uncle Mo. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much, okay. Sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Eric,
thank
I'm going to give you a chance to defend yourself, you and Joanne and Wendell.
I'm happy that he's listening. Thanks. Stay tuned.
Me too.
And okay. He was a real us. Talk on the Tanya Free
gonna
Show.
We're going to issue him an IEP before the end of the show.
Yeah, please.
Okay. And Jim said, Steve Parsons got paid.
And I agree with
I believe that. Yeah, and probably Daryl Scott and Omarosa and all of them. Mm. But you know what? What the Bible said, what profits a man to gain the whole wide world and to lose his
own soul?
Yeah, and then you're going to try to drag other folks along with you. That's the sad part about it. And that's what we have lost as a people.
Does that mean Trump the devil?
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward.
Moving on.
He has a hairdo for it.
Oh, no, you didn't. Trudy said, does Wendell listen to himself and does he really believe it? Wendell, I'll give you a chance to respond.
Hey, Trudy,
to that.
Thanks for responding. Comment. Yes, I listen to myself very carefully and I do believe what I say because I don't believe in saying things if you don't believe it.
Okay.
Now, once you hear something, you got to go and do the research and be able to back it up with some research.
Okay. Okay.
Good. That's good.
In the story, what did you say?
I have a claim named Trudy. She's cute, too. So that's you, Trudy. I need a date tonight.
Okay. You're going to need security when you leave here. That's what you're going to need.
I'm always defending the plan. I say the stupidest things. I mean, wow.
Now, you all, I wish they could hear you during the break. You make a lot of sense when we talk during the break. I don't know if you're just trying to, get me all riled up or whatever, saying stuff to get my blood pressure.
I believe everything I say.
Not everything.
Yes, I do.
Not everything.
Get to IEP meeting in a little while here.
I'm not here for shock. No,
get
shock job.
Get your accommodation.
Well, you did some
together.
Shock today.
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, we were talking about the women on the stage with Donald Trump, and Uncle Mo, you want to voice your opinion about that?
How far can I go?
Go ahead. This we almost show is almost ended. So go ahead. Knock yourself out.
These two crazy coons. On this stage that was sitting here singing and almost singing and dancing the praises of this man that basically put them on the stage. I can't see how they did that without getting paid at some point. I just don't see it. But let's say hypothetical, he just found two retired ladies out there. And just, hey, look, why don't y'all go ahead and do your thing on the stage with me? That was the most embarrassing and degrading thing I have seen in a long time. And I watch a lot of stuff. You know what? That was bad.
Well, the thing is this. They may not have gotten paid. I mean, it's possible.
They were his housekeepers.
Or he gave them a little something. But I don't think there's enough money that you could actually give somebody to make themselves, to embarrass themselves in that. Well,
that's
not
true.
You can have some folks. No, that's true. You can have some folks that would do that.
You get a crackhead $5 in the middle of the
show. That's true. You're right. You're right. I stand to be corrected. But the thing is this. You have some folks that are just glad to be in the limelight, and they think that Donald Trump is the best thing since iced tea.
They got their 15 years of fame, but they sold their souls out with
that. But then they may work for him, you know, in his home or somewhere that he decided to just dress him up and bring him on.
They could believe that.
They very well could believe
that. Could be. Right. Let's go to the phones. Reggie, hi, friend. How are you?
All right. How you doing? Hey, Tony, how you like that championship trophy, Virginia State?
Wonderful.
Took care of business last week. How you like that trophy?
Absolutely. Myself and Uncle Mo here.
And Joanne.
And Eric. Oh, yeah, and Eric.
Yes.
Mr. Free. Okay. All right.
I enjoy presenting it to team, and much like I enjoy being at the Cowboy and Washington game Monday when I enjoy seeing that A whooping week.
I was rooting the other way. So
I did not want the Cowboys to win that game.
Yes, well, you know what? Go ahead and have a plate.
You know, real quick.
Eat some of that.
Can buy a Negro.
I know it hurts.
I mean, every time I look at the Good Shepherd by Russ Parr, I think what them Negro preachers are still up there with Donald Trump. You know, it just amazed me again that how so many people can sit here and do this with all whistle, Southern strategy that's been going on for years. It's nothing new.
Right.
I mean, Hitler did the same thing. I mean, if you look at history from a historical point of view, this man is playing on the worst fears of Europeans.
Yep.
And what really pisses me off again, the Democrats, like, some of them are even buying into it, too. Come on, you just call it real. I mean, Hillary's been quiet.
Yeah, well, because he's doing the work for her. He's getting helping her campaign.
Mm-hmm. He's jamming up white supremacy is what he's doing. And I tell people, a lot of Muslims are black. Mm-hmm. But see, we don't want to talk about that. You know, a lot of quality Muslims have been doing quality things, and all I hear over and over again is, why don't you guys come out? Or where are the people? We had too many things, the Christians and the white supremacist Ku Klux Klan do things. Oh, they're just misunderstood. Columbine. Oh, they just misunderstood. The elementary school. Oh, they just misunderstood. But yeah, when black folks didn't come out and show place to ask for love in South Carolina, we need to go to war. President Obama. Oh, and by the way, real quick, those two Fox people, one, the black young lady and the man, they call Barack Obama P.
Yeah, Stacey Dash, I think her name is. Mm-hmm. Stacey Dash, the sister.
Well, Clueless is definitely right for her, that Moocha did. She's definitely clueless. But
if she just keep her mouth shut, she'd be
Only suspended them for 2 weeks, so to me that's nothing.
Probably.
it was only 2 weeks. Stacey Dash. You know
what you're
talking about.
Yeah, Lord. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much, friend. I appreciate it.
If she keeps her mouth shut, she'd be just fine. But golly, she messes it up when she opens her mouth. But yeah, I cut whenever she's on TV, I just hit the mute button and just watch. I'm good.
Eric, Trudy said you can't handle her. Okay, you want to respond?
I heard it before, but that's cool, Trudy. But I want to get into a Jerry Springer moment right now, so I'm good.
Okay.
Call the show, Trudy.
All righty then.
Trudy just got called out, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's move back to what Reggie was talking about, the preachers, and how it's unfortunate that they are, and I really feel misleading people. I mean, I think if you're a preacher, you should not publicize what your political views are if you have a congregation, because like I said, you have people that want to, that will follow their pastor, whether he's right or wrong, and that type of limelight, I just don't think it should be. You know, one of the things that bothered me is that he went private behind closed doors.
Yeah, all four meetings.
With it, right. But there was, who had a meeting with pastors and it was done in the open? I don't know if it was Bernie Sanders. I think it was Bernie Sanders in Baltimore. Was it yesterday, I believe? And he actually went in the hood of Baltimore and got eye full as to what he saw. Because I was watching him last night on one of the late night
talk show. Freddie Gray too, Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I think
right,
so.
That's where he was. Yeah. And he got an eyeful because listening to him talk, it was like he did not have, he didn't have any idea as to how poverty stricken that area was, because he was saying that they have the stores that they have in that area is no supermarket or anything, and that they have little stores where you can buy liquor and, you know, little chips and stuff like that. And a lot of white America have no clue, you know, and really they would, or somebody would get a bus, take them, you know, to Baltimore or some poverty stricken community so they can see what is really going on in America. When we have these politicians and they do the debate, and not only Republicans but Democrats as well, and they want to talk about stuff like abortion and immigration, that's to me is back burner issues. There's a whole lot more serious issues, especially pertaining to us, that are a whole lot more important. Well, Tony, and why is it we can't, you know, the media cannot deal with issues like that?
Well, Tony, sometimes when the politicians come here, our top politicians would take them to a certain area, not mainly the areas that they should be in. I think they're just hiding behind. They just want to bring these people in and say, this is what we're doing for these little few poor people. But they don't see
they don't want to see it.
Yeah, they really don't.
And that's why I commend Bernie Sanders from that standpoint. Yeah. I think, you know, people say, oh, he's not going to. He may not be, but I give him credit for that.
Trying to understand what's going on.
At least he got. He was able to see it, and he talked about it. Hopefully, we will see if Hillary steps up to the plate or a Republican will step up to the plate. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that they are not dealing with real issues, and we allow it.
Yeah.
That's the bad part.
Mm-hmm.
Any comment on that? Y'all been talking about everything else.
It is what it is.
Y'all have anything to say about that?
No, it's been like that for years. I mean, that's what they do. It's a photo op, and maybe they know it's
there.
We
allow it.
They know it's there.
Yeah. We allow it.
They know it's there.
And I also think another thing, I think that I'm at the point where I'm not bashing Republicans. I think Democrats as well. We talked a few weeks ago about Democrats voting for this legislation that will allow auto dealers to charge African Americans blacks more than they do whites.
Yeah.
And it was like 88 Democrats.
And mortgages as well, wasn't it?
Mortgages as well. You got a bank that actually has to pay back $1.2 million.
But why? It's not simply just because that, is it?
Well, yes, because...
No, it's more to it than that.
Do you think it is,
Eric? I read up on it, but I was trying to do the research on, like, what was the real cause of it. I mean, is it based on credit?
Yeah, it was based on credit and the income.
You had a white person that had didn't have credit as well as a black person, and they still charged the African-American person more
money. They're looking at risk. Mm-hmm. They're looking at risk. Insurance agents are always going to trump their... Pardon the term, Trump. They're gonna trump their interest behind risk, their risk tolerance.
Well, they do that. Every bank does that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the name of the game.
Yeah,
it's a phone service.
White people got to pay back. Black, there are some hardworking black people who are scrambling. We'll pay it back.
I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just looking at what they're gonna tell you. They're gonna tell you you're in a higher risk category.
Right.
Yeah. Simple as that. From whatever reason, social economic.
Just like car insurance in the neighborhood you live in.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Mine's went up $37 from Glen Allen to Chocolate Bottom.
Yeah,
really?
Just by the neighborhood you live in.
Depending on your age and
you all think
your car can cost you more than insurance.
They're discriminating.
It's that blatant, though. They said they're going to charge the same credit rate. They're going to charge a black person more.
Did they actually say that?
Yeah, I saw the report. If they said that, that's blatant.
There was an example where a white person, that credit was worse than the black, and the black person was charged more.
Yes.
Or they had the same, the black person was still charged more. That's still discriminatory.
I mean, it happens, but when you say pass the bill.
That's still discriminatory.
Because a couple of black, A.C. Hastings, James Claiborne, they voted for it also. A couple of blacks...
You had I can't even think of the young lady's name.
Swasserman Shorts.
Right.
I met her at CBC this year.
Oh, okay, you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, next time you meet her, ask her why she voted for that legislation, that bill. Yeah. Okay. So those are the kinds of things that we need to pay attention to, and not get distracted by Donald Trump, the immigration and. You know, this terrorism and all that. Right. And in reality, you're right. All of that. Oh, our time is over? Wow, that was quick. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. Of course, thanks to Joanne, Eric, Wendell, Uncle Mo, Antoinette, Miera, Coffee Black, El Bravador, Roosevelt, Marcus, and Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. Remember to live life with a purpose.
Thanks for joining us for this installment of Tanya Free and Friends Talk Radio. Don't forget, the conversation continues 24/7 at tanyafree.com. Keep up with the hottest topics of the day, post your comments, opinions, and more, all at tanyafree.com. On air, online, and on point. The views and opinions expressed by the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of the host and or this station. Tanya Free and Friends Radio is a production of Freedom Marketing, Inc. All rights reserved.